Gary Lyman is doing another patterns of care study that looks from the methodology even stronger than the previous one. He's telling me that, quote, 50% of patients getting TAC in the community are not receiving preemptive growth factors. Do you think that's happening?
The only reason I could speculate for it happening has to do with the nuances of the package insert, the label for TAC in the adjuvant setting, because the original trial didn't use growth factor, and I think that they don't have it labeled as requiring it. So maybe some people don't.
I consider the statistical proof that half of all doctors graduate in the bottom 50% of their class.
Do you think this is happening? Kathy?
Well, I'm surprised because I see a lot of patients in the community getting AC every 3 weeks who get prophylactic growth factors, which I have a really hard time justifying.
Hal?
I actually find the problem with this isn't the recommendation for 15 or 20%, because I think most of us would actually have a hard time consenting a patient to a regimen that meant there was a 1 in 5 chance of their being hospitalized with febrile neutropenia compared to one that didn't for the simple administration of prophylaxis. I think the problem is that we haven't, as a community, said what our acceptable level of febrile neutropenia ought to be. So, for instance, with nausea and vomiting, we would all agree the desired goal is zero, right? So we liberally use prophylaxis. And for cancer pain, the goal is zero. So we liberally use pain medicines. What we haven't said is what we're willing to tolerate in the way of febrile neutropenia risk. The other only anecdote I can offer, and I was not on this panel, but I'm struck as I give AC every 3 weeks still for patients who are destined to get trastuzumab, because that's what was done in the studies, and I haven't gone to dose-dense AC for those patients for the most part. It's aggravating because a lot of the patients end up with dose delays and tweaks, and it's clearly more toxic than when you give them growth factor supported dose dense AC followed by Taxol. And so it hasn't made me start to use GCSF prophylactically in these settings, but it is impressive just once you start using a lot of every 2 week AC with growth factor support, how predictable and clockwork like it can be compared to other ways of treating people.
Do you use dose dense AC without a taxane?
I do as a regimen that has for patients who are just getting AC, and I justify that because the intergroup, which many of you sit on, of course, has tacitly endorsed that as the control arm of their ongoing low-risk adjuvant chemotherapy trial.
However, it's not an institutional policy. Not that we object to it. In truth, there are people at our place who do it, and there are people who do not. I actually don't do it.